the attitude of worship. If we just rise on our feet as we worship our God. Amen. Just rise on your feet, please, and reference our God. Hallelujah.
Amen. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Sing your Alpha.
You
give you all.
We give you.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
Presence of God. Anywhere Joseph gets to, he must have favor before the master there. He had favor in the prison. He had favor before Potiphar. He has favor before Pharaoh. I pray from now onwards, anywhere you go, you will find favor. Favor will locate you there. In the name of Jesus. Moses cried to God. He said, Father, if your presence does not go with us, we are not going. We are not going anywhere. Until we secure your presence, we are not going anywhere. So you will cry to God. You say, Father,
Father,
I pray you, from now onwards, wherever I go, let your presence go with me.
Let your presence go.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's cry to God. Father, your presence made a difference in the life of Joseph. Wherever I go from now onwards, let your presence be with me. Let your presence go with me so that I can find favor, so that I can prosper, so that I can excel, so that doors can be opened to me. Wherever I go, Father, let your presence go with me. Let your presence be with me. In the name of Jesus, let me find grace in your presence, oh God. In the remaining journey of my life, let your presence go with me. In the name of Jesus, let your presence go with me, that your name might be glorified. Let your presence go with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. One more prayer. Another inference about Joseph is that Joseph was an apple of destiny. Wherever he goes, the master there will be at rest, because he knows that everything is taken care of. There is somebody that is helping him, taking care of everything. In Egypt, he delivered Pharaoh from famine and his people because he was an apple of destiny. The Bible talks about David that day to day, the apples of destiny, they came unto David until they became great like the host of God. And the Bible says, for that these apples, they turned the kingdom over to David in Hebron. They made sure that David became enthroned as king over Israel. You say, Father, wherever my helpers of destiny are, from the north, from the south, from the west of the globe, let them begin to come unto me. Let them begin to come unto me. Let them begin to come unto me to help me. Wherever the helpers of my destiny are, Father, release them. Release them. From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Release them unto me. Release my Joseph unto me. Release my Joseph unto me. Release my Joseph unto me. Until they become great, like the host of God. Let them begin to come unto me. Helpers in destiny. Helpers of destiny. Helpers of destiny. Father, let them begin to come unto me. Let them begin to be connected to me. Helpers of destiny. That will take me to my destiny. That will make things easy for me in life. That will make my pilgrimage easy in life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. It is my prayer this morning that the God of Israel will always go with you. Amen. Wherever you go from now onwards, amen, his presence will be made manifest, amen, in every step of your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is my prayer that God will begin to release, amen, your helpers of destiny, amen, to you. Let them begin to come unto you, amen, from the north, amen, from the south, amen, from the east, from the west of the globe. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That the name of the Lord might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While still standing up, we are privileged today to have in our midst the man of God, of the great God, one of our close friends in the ministry, close to the family, close to the church of God. Hallelujah. God has used him tremendously in this weekend's workers' conference for us. And we want to thank God for his life, for how God has been using him in the ministry. And I've known him for about two decades now, by the grace of God. And we thank God for how God has been blessing him and promoting him. So let's welcome one of the senior pastors in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, all the way from Nigeria, Pastor Remi Adebiyi. Let's do it for the Lord. Let's honor the grace of God.
Amen. Let somebody shout a better hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Tell your neighbor, today is my turn.
Today is my turn.
Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, today is my own day.
Today is my own day.
When the Lord is going to visit me.
When the Lord is going to visit me.
When the Lord is going to do a new thing in my life.
When the Lord
today is my day.
Today is my day.
In the name of Jesus, shall we pray? Father, we thank you because you are a faithful God. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. We magnify your holy name. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. You are the Lord. You change it not. You reign and you rule in the affairs of men. We give you all the glory. Be exalted, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to specifically thank you for this last weekend. Thank you for so much you have impacted in us. Thank you for visiting us in a different way. Thank you for surprising us. Thank you for the release of your spirit. Thank you for your presence with us. Lord, we worship you. Please accept our gratitude in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, we are here gathered to learn at your feet. You are the best teacher. You are the greatest teacher. Father, we ask that this morning you speak to us.
Amen.
In a way that we understand. Speak to us, O Lord, and let our future be secured in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, O Lord, and let there be transformation. Let there be life changing here today for the better in the name of Jesus. Please save souls. Please deliver. Please set the captives free. Please restore every backslider in the name of Jesus. Let it be well, Jehovah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. And let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. May be seated. We want to sincerely thank God for all he has done for us over the last weekend. It's been wonderful being in his presence. And I just pray that the Spirit of God will not depart from this house in the name of Jesus. And it will not depart from our lives in the name of Jesus. I want to appreciate the pastorate. I want to appreciate my friend, Pastor Philip Oyetunji. All the ministers of God, workers in the vineyard of God, working along with him, members of the congregation. I want to say a big thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with us again this year. And it's my prayer that as we go along with the Lord, one day we are going to see him the way he is. And we're going to reign with him together in the name of Jesus. The Lord will continue to prosper you. And the Lord will continue to prosper his church. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we want to speak to us on the topic, where will you be tomorrow? Where will you be in history tomorrow? Where will you be tomorrow? Or where will I be in history tomorrow? Numbers chapter 23, verse 8 to 10. Numbers 23, verse 8 to 10. If you are there, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you are still searching for it, you can begin to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you get to Numbers. Amen. From Genesis. Amen. Numbers 23, verse 8 to 10. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the east I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. And I want all of us to repeat that. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where will you be in history tomorrow? Some people see tomorrow as some distance. And that's why they never make effort. That's why they procrastinate. Because they think tomorrow is 24 hours. And when 24 hours come, they'll say, I'll still do it tomorrow. And before you know it, tomorrow never ends. Tomorrow is a mirage. Tomorrow never comes. And may I tell you that your tomorrow starts now. Your tomorrow is the next moment. So if you have been delaying, if you have formed the habit of saying, I will leave this tomorrow, I will leave it tomorrow, please change your mind. Because tomorrow starts now. Amen? From the story we have just read, from the passage we have just read, Balaam was employed by Balak to curse Israel. But he could only see a blessed nation. He could not see a cursed nation. He could not see a nation that could be cursed. God opened his eyes to see that these people cannot be cursed. Why? Because somebody at the beginning secured the tomorrow of the children of Israel. Somebody looked straight into the future and said, my tomorrow starts today and I need to secure it. And because God saw his heart, God said to him that day, anyone that curses you shall be cursed. And anyone that blesses you shall be blessed. Why? Because God saw in Father Abraham somebody who made up his mind to secure his tomorrow. Somebody that did not waste time. Because in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, God called him once and said, Abraham, get out of your village. Get out of your kindred. Get out of where you are now. He didn't tell him where he's taking him to, did he? He said, to a place I am going to show you. He never told him, I'm taking you to Canaan. He never told him, I'm taking you to a promised land. No, he said, to a place I am going to show you.
And because Abraham knew that my tomorrow has come now, he did not waste any time. He jumped up immediately and he started moving. And when it was time for history to be written, it was discovered that Abraham had already secured the tomorrow of his children and his children's children. That was why, when it comes to Balak, saying to Balaam, curse these people, he says, sorry, their tomorrow was secured some 1,000 years ago. I can do it. Where are you going to be in history tomorrow? What is going to happen to you tomorrow? When is the turn of your children? When it is the turn of your children's children, what would they say about their grandfather? What are they going to say about their grandmother? What are they going to say about their great-grandfather? Your tomorrow will be secured from today. In the name of Jesus. This man looked at the generations of Abraham and he started using his life to pray for himself. Let my hand be like his own hand. Let me die the death of a righteous man and let my end be like his end. Will somebody look into your life tomorrow and say, I want to use this life to pray for myself? Will somebody look into your life and say, God, let my end be like the hand of Remi Adebi? Or would they say, no, you can't pray for yourself in using that name because it's a bad example of a human being that has ever lived. Where are you going to be in history tomorrow? It starts today. Let me die the death of the righteous. And let my last end, let my tomorrow be like his own. That was a great prayer. Because somebody one day made up his mind to secure his own tomorrow. Your tomorrow will be secured. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will not come to this life in vain. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to listen to me, brethren, that your sweet or bitter tomorrow starts today. Your sweet or bitter tomorrow starts today. I pray for you, your tomorrow will be sweet. Amen. Your tomorrow will be better than your today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So if there's anything that is bothering your mind, if there's anything that is giving you anxiety, sleepless nights, may I prophesy into your life that your tomorrow will be better than your today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. David cried unto God. In Psalm 39 verse 4a. Psalm 39 verse 4a. He said, Lord, make me to know my end. I want to know the way I am going to end up. And I want to tell you today that the way you are going to end up is in your hands. Amen? It's where? In your own very hands. You determine what happens to your tomorrow. Whether the tomorrow will be cursed or will be blessed. But I say to you today, your tomorrow will be blessed. Amen. Your tomorrow shall not be cursed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I have seen husband and wife saying to themselves, cursed be the day I met you. Because what they planted yesterday, instead of producing good fruit today, is bringing forth bad fruits. Your yesterday will no longer affect your today adversely in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me know my end. And may I tell you today, that you determine your own hand. You determine your own hand. So if our tomorrow will be secured, if we are going to be great in history tomorrow, if people are going to wake up tomorrow and they are going to use your life to pray for themselves, is dependent on certain factors. Number one, it depends on the opportunity you utilize or you waste today. It depends on the opportunities you utilize or you waste today. Your tomorrow is dependent upon whether you use the great opportunities God is giving to you today well, or you don't use them well. God called Abraham. Let me tell you something about Abraham. His father, his own father, took them from their very village. And they started journeying. And they got to Haran. The father told them, "We are going to Canaan." And when they got to Haran, something happened. The man could no longer pursue that vision, that dream. And they got to Haran and the dream died in Haran. The father died there. And Haran was the citadel of idol worship. And God looked at a man. Okay, your father's story is ended here. Your father's vision has come to an end here. But I can see in your heart that you need a better tomorrow, which cannot be fulfilled where you are now. So Abraham, I want to single you out. Out of your kindred, out of your people, get out. There are some places you need to get out of before you can be blessed. Amen? There are some people you need to separate from before you can be blessed. Hallelujah. Get out. And Abraham saw the opportunity there. He never asked one question. Do you know Abraham could have given 1,001 excuses? You said you are taking me to a place. You never told me where I should be going. So why should I follow you? Why should I go anywhere? You never told me go to town ABC. You just said to a place I'm going to show you. But Abraham, as young as he was, in hearing the voice of the Lord, obeyed the Lord's voice. And he jumped up. He jumped at the opportunity. How many opportunities has the Lord given to you to be blessed, to become great, and you are wasted? They go straight to tell what you are going to be tomorrow. Abraham did not waste time at all. He grabbed the opportunity. He stood up and he started going. In Genesis, chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. Abraham saw another opportunity to be blessed. He had gone to war. He had gone to rescue his nephew from those who have captured him and his family. And he's coming back with so much. And he came across this man, Melchizedek. And he said, "This is a form of God. This is a form of the Lord Jesus." And he said, "Wait, Oga." And he paid his tithes to him. He paid his tithes to him. And God said, "This guy, ride on. You are securing your tomorrow." Today, when it comes to giving to the Lord, it's a great opportunity. How many of such opportunities have you wasted? How many of such opportunities have you wasted? Pay your tithe. I'm working for my pants. When I'm spending 100%, it's not enough. You are now saying I should be spending 90. Government will take his tax. I have to pay this bill and pay that bill and pay that. There's no way I can pay tithe. But listen to me. That 10% that God has requested from you is what secured the remaining 90%. Amen? That's what secured the remaining 90. I was going astray some years back. God gave me this opportunity to learn and to know that when I pay my tithe, I shall be blessed. But when I was making small, small money, it was so easy for me to drop my tithe. I'm from Nigeria. Amen? So when I make 1,000 naira, it's so easy for me to pull out 100 naira and say, God, take. But there was a day, early in my Christian race, early in my practice as a lawyer, I made 60,000 naira. 60,000 naira in 1990-91, how much could that be today? And I made 60,000 naira, and I looked at the money. And I looked at it and said, God, no. A whole 6,000 naira out of this money, I can't do it. I will not. And God said, son, pay your tithe. And I said, no, dad, I cannot. I cannot. So I spent the money. And trouble came. Everything dried up. I'm telling you what happened to me. Everything dried up. I'll be driving my car, and maybe what I'll have in my pocket will just be 100 naira. And I'll be begging God, please don't let me hit an XLR. And one day, because God was going to show me mercy, I slept and I had a dream. And I saw one of our AGOs, Pao Jo, was preaching. And he was preaching so hard in that dream. And suddenly he said, no tithe. And in the whole congregation, very light congregation, I was the only one that lifted up my hand and I said, no blessing. And the moment I said no blessing, I woke up. And I said, sweating. I was sweating profusely. And I said, God, you have spoken to me. I know you have spoken to me. I repent. From today, the one I spent, I may not be able to get back. But from today, I promise you, I will never spend your tithe again. And God heard my innocent prayer. And from that day, today, if you give me 1 billion naira, do you know what comes to my mind first? It's my tithe. If you give me 10 million naira, it doesn't matter anything to me to pull out that 1 million and say, Father, this is yours. And since the day I started practicing that, my life changed. Everything about me changed. How many opportunities have the Lord given to you to sow into the things of his kingdom and you have wasted it? Abraham did not waste the opportunity. Isaac wanted a secure tomorrow. And he wanted to go down to Egypt when there was famine. And God said to him, don't go anywhere. I'm giving you opportunity in this land. So, in this land. And you are going to reap in this land. The man grabbed the opportunity and he became great in the land where there was famine. Listen to me. They said there is economy, depression, or whatever they call it. It's not for you. Amen. Amen? Amen? There are so many opportunities to be blessed here. Sow something into somebody's life, God will reward you for it. You are securing your tomorrow. Sow love, sow affection, sow grace, sow money, sow material things into people's life. You are only securing your tomorrow. Isaac was in your position. He did it in a place where there was no hope. And God restored his hope. Don't say this land is dry. Don't say, oh, we don't even know what is happening to this economy. It's not your home. Amen? I always tell people that look at me. My budget is not tied to the Nigerian budget. It's not. If my budget is to be tied to the Nigerian Jubilee, I will be suffering today. But I always say, Father, my budget is tied to your own budget. And it has never disappointed me. Look for opportunities to bless somebody. When you look for opportunity to bless somebody, God will bless you in return. Amen? Let's stop wasting opportunities. Let's stop wasting opportunities. Isaac was given so many excuses. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. Then verse 12 to 13. Genesis 26, 1 to 3, verse 12 to 13. He could have said, God, this ground is too hard. God, there is no water. God, how do you want me to plow here? Not a single excuse came from him. All those excuses, let them die today. Amen? And today, God will begin to secure your tomorrow for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jacob saw opportunity to be blessed. Genesis 32, verse 24 to 26. He saw opportunity to remain alone with God. He grabbed the opportunity. He tarried all alone in the presence of God. And he said unto God, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. It was a great opportunity. God presented himself to him. As God is presenting himself to someone here today, will you grab God and say, God, I will not allow you to go until you have blessed me? Or will you allow him to just pass by like this? Jacob got that opportunity and he said, no, I won't allow you to go. David saw opportunity to be blessed and he made up his mind to face Goliath. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 to 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28 to 32. He saw opportunity to be blessed and he said, my opportunity to be blessed is in facing this giant. Brethren, Christian, why are you running away from problem? Why are you running away from your challenges? Why are you giving your back to them? Why are you saying, I cannot face them? Listen to me. Every challenge, every difficulty presents to you opportunity to go higher. Amen? Amen? David asked, anyone that killed this guy, what will be done unto him? And they said, the king is going to make him his in-law. And David said, I am me bush boy. I would love that one. I will love that one. To become the king's in-law. He could visualize it. He could see himself sitting on the right side of the king. He could see himself in the king's palace. And when Eliab said, you are a stubborn boy. What have you come here to do? He said, look, I'm not talking to you, Oga. And he turned to him, he said, please tell me something. What will it be done to the one who killed this man? He said, the king said he will give him even not to the half of his kingdom. He said, I will take that one. He faced Goliath. Amen? Amen? He faced Goliath. And with the help of God, he defeated Goliath. And that was the beginning of his greatness. Every difficulty you see today will lead to your greatness if you will not run away from them. Sometimes we pray, Christian God, why have you brought this one to me? Am I the only one? If he's not bringing it to you, who should he give it to? Amen? I once faced a problem. It was difficult for me. Very tough. Very, very tough. And I said, God, you know what? I'm not going to ask you a single question. I'm not going to say anything. And one day I was just driving home. And God came to me and spoke to me. He said, son, you know what? I gave you that problem because I know you had the ability to handle it. I couldn't have given it to somebody else because you are the one who fits the qualification of the person I'm looking for to handle that problem. And I said, this is a strange one. Amen? Amen. And I thank God. He stood with me throughout the problem. That today, by the grace of God, when I share the testimony coming out of that problem, people give their lives to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Every opportunity you have wasted, God is going to restore to you today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. He's going to restore them back to you today. In the name of Jesus. When problem comes, rejoice. What do I say? Rejoice. When challenges come, rejoice. They are just opportunities for you tomorrow to be able to share your testimony. To be able to test somebody. I passed through it and look at me today. Hallelujah. Somebody once came to me, a lady, and she was crying. Ah, Pastor, I've been married for 3 years. No son, no daughter, no child. And I was looking at her, and she was talking, and she was going on. Then I started laughing. And then she stopped and said, I'm crying and you are laughing. And I said, how many years did you say you have waited? And he said, 3 years. I said, I've had to wait for 9 years. So. He said, what? I said, I've had to wait for 9 years. And today, I'm a father of children. He said, Pastor, is that so? I said, yes, it's so. I can't tell you a lie. I waited with my wife for 9 years. And today, we are parents. We didn't adopt the children. God gave them to us naturally. And he said, okay, I know my own too. We come. Amen? When we are passing through that difficulty, it wasn't palatable, it wasn't sweet. People were coming to me and say, Pastor, each time you lay hand on people, they get pregnant. What is happening to your wife? I'm telling you what happened to me. What is happening to you? When you come meeting and people come for your meeting and you lay hand on them, they conceive, they give birth. What is happening to you, Pastor? And I said, listen to me. God is just doing his own pleasure with me. When he's ready for me, will answer me. And exactly the way I told them, in fact, they started coming to us, go and do what? Which one do they call? IVF. Which, I said, how will I give the testimony? How will I share the testimony? Okay, we waited on the Lord, and the Lord will not do it, and I decided to call doctors to help me. Amen? Amen? Every problem that is presenting themselves to you today, they are great opportunities for your tomorrow to be greatly secured. Amen. You are going to pass through them. They are going to lead you to your destiny. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. For you to be in great reckoning in history tomorrow, number two thing is dependent on how you handle your time today. Is dependent on how you handle your time today. Amen? The Bible says there is time for everything. There are two currencies we spend on the surface of the earth. Money and what? Time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says specifically that there is time for everything. So God expects us to manage our time well. If you spend money, you can get money back. Do you agree with me? If you spend money, you can get money back. But if you spend time, you can never, never get it back. The time we have spent from 12 midnight till now, 29th of May, year 2011, is gone and gone forever. It can never come back. Please Please listen to me, brethren. Abraham did not waste time. Abraham did not joke with time. He spent his time well. He planned very well the way he spent his time. From today, don't allow people to waste your time again. Because once it's wasted, you can't recall it. You can't get it back. You cannot. I don't allow people to waste my time. And I don't go to joke with people when they are working. So I don't expect people to come and joke with me when I'm working. There is time for everything. There is time to crack some jokes. There is time to work. I tell them, if you're employed to do your work and you get there and that's the time you want to study your Bible when you are supposed to be working, you are a time waster. That's why the fact that is the work of the Bible of God that you are studying. You are what? A time waster. That's not what you are being paid to do at that moment. You are being paid to do what? To utilize that time to work. Let's stop wasting time. I tell people, if you want to waste your own time, you don't come and waste my own. Because every day, time is passing and it's going and it's going and it's going. And there is no way you can call it back. When they went to Jesus and said, come and perform miracle here, what did he tell them? He said, my time has not come. When my time comes, I'll do it. And you see. And when his time came, did he stop one day? Miracle every day. Miracle upon miracle every day. He never wasted time. He took his time to prepare. Took 30 years to prepare for a work of what? 3 years. He spent his time very well. Utilized his time very well. Brethren, let us stop wasting time. Let us stop wasting time. It's a valuable currency. And once you have spent it, you cannot get it back. What you do with time today will dictate what happens to you in history tomorrow. Where you are going to be in history tomorrow is dependent on the quality of decision you take today. It's dependent on the quality of decision you take today. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3 verse 14. Joel chapter 3 verse 14. He said there are so many people in the valley of decision. So many people in the valley of decision. And listen to me, brethren. It has been discovered that a normal human being make about 500 decisions in a day. From what type of clothes do I want to wear? Do I need to speak to this fellow? Do I need to reply him? Do I need to go to that place? Do I need to visit the washroom now? Do I need to go to work now? An average human being takes about 500 decisions in a day. But if those decisions are not quality decisions, they go to affect your tomorrow. So what are the things that should guide your decision? Number one, the word of God. The word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God should guide your decision. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Proverbs 11 verse 14. Seek counsel before you take your decision. Because where there is no cancer, the people fall. Make sure you take quality decisions. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Make sure that the decision you are taking will give you joy at the end of the day. Before you make a decision, think very well. Will this thing give me joy tomorrow? Will it bring me happiness tomorrow? When you are tired, don't take decisions. What do I say? When you are tired and you are fat out, don't make any decision. Any decision you make on such occasion are usually not sound decisions. When you are under pressure, don't take decision. Don't take decision. Why did Jesus send those people back when they came to him? When they said, our wine is finished. He could have jumped and said, okay, let me go and do it now. But they were putting him under pressure. They were putting so much pressure on him. He said, no, I'm not taking any decision. Go. Leave me alone. Leave me alone for now. And when, after he has taken his time, he took the decision, it's time to help this couple. And he went and he did it. Brethren, how great, how secured, how excellent are the decisions you are taking today. Many of us Christians, we live by sight, not by faith. I will marry that guy because his father is a millionaire. And that's a decision. That's a decision. I will go after that lady because I want to climb the social ladder. His father is the mayor of London. And as such, if I marry her, I will be in a better position. That's a decision. What are the guiding principles guiding your position in life? Any decision you want to take from today that does not tally with the word of God, please drop it. They won't help you tomorrow. They won't give you a good tomorrow. They won't give you a better tomorrow. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. I'm rushing this message because the message I'm preaching to you now took 1.5 months back home. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to compress it. Hallelujah. So please, your decision, let it be qualitative. Number 4. Where you will be in history tomorrow is dependent on the company you keep today. Where you are going to be in history tomorrow is dependent on the company you keep today. Ask your neighbor, who are your friends? The Englishman says, show me your friend, and I will tell you who you are. Who are your friends? The friends you keep today determine what happens to you tomorrow. Tomorrow. Listen to me. When I was in the secondary school, my friends were hooligans. Amen? Drunkards. My father was a Baptist deacon. He was a Baptist minister. Anytime we don't have pastor, my father stepped into the position of the pastor of our church. And my father would be preaching in the church, and I would be at Palmy Joints. Because of the type of people I was moving with then. And I would be so drunk, terribly drunk, that they would carry me from that place into our house. And as my father is coming from the church, he will meet me at home in a very terrible stupor. And one day he said to me, I thank God that you are not the only child I have. It was bad. Why? Because of the type of company I was keeping then. But one day, Jesus came into my life. He saved my soul. He gave me a brand new life and gave me brand new friends. Amen? Gave me brand new friends. And one day, my father looked at me and said to me, Oluremi, if anybody has told me that you are going to become like this, so beautiful, well-behaved, I will have argued it out. And I said, Papa, that's what Jesus can do in a man's life. Amen? Amen? That's what Jesus can do in a man's life. Company, wrong companies can destroy your future. Amen? Wrong companies can do what? Can destroy your future. God has given us liberty to have friends. Are you with me? God has done what? Given us liberty to have friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, He that must have friends must do what? Must show himself friendly. So he's giving us the basis to make friends. And listen to me. The man, the lady who is your sister, who is your blood brother, you are not the one that chose them. Were you? You are not. You just came to this life and you discover this is my brother. This is my sister. Even if he's the most crooked person on the surface of the earth. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. He remains your brother. He remains your sister. Nothing. You can't do anything. But when it comes to choosing friends, when it comes to choosing company, God has given you liberty to be able to determine who to choose. You make friends by heart, not by accident. You make friends by what? By heart. It's not by accident. That my brother is my brother is by accident of birth. My sisters are my sisters is by accident of birth. I didn't determine who should be my brother. I didn't determine who should be my sister. They didn't have power over that. But I have power over who should be my friend. I tell people I don't have many friends. Because if you cannot impact on my life positively, you cannot be my friend. Amen? God has given you that liberty. And he went ahead to tell us some specific people you cannot make friends with. Proverbs 22 verse 24 to 25. Proverbs 22 verse 24 to 25. It says, make no friend with an angry person. Is it your Bible? Amen? Make no friend with who? An angry man. You see, when young couples come to me and they say, Daddy, he has turned me into a punching bag. He beat me, almost killed me. And I ask them, do you cut at all? Did you cut at all? Yes, we did. And you didn't see that he's an angry person. So you married the devil. You have carried it. You can't change it. Amen? Because God said, don't make friends with an angry person. So if you make friends with an angry person today, and tomorrow it begins to affect your destiny badly, God cannot be blamed for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It said, a companion of the fool, of a fool, will be what? Will be destroyed. Don't make friends with foolish people. And how do you know foolish people? People that don't have regard for God. They don't have regard for God. They don't have regard for man. They can never give you one right counsel. All they want to tell you is, let's go and destroy it. Let's go and fight. Let's go and do this. They can be your friend. If you make them your friend today, they will destroy your tomorrow. Amen? Where will you be in history tomorrow? God said to us in Proverbs 27 verse 5 to 6. That you should make friends with those that can correct you. When you are going wrong, when you are going the wrong way, just select people that you know, this one can beat me here, beat me here, and beat me to shape. God has given me the grace that almost all my friends are older than me. Almost all my friends are older than myself. They can easily tell me, Remy, sit down there. And I will do what? Yes, sir. Don't make friends with people that cannot correct you when you are wrong. Don't make friends with people that will just only pamper you. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. So shall a friend sharpen the countenance of his friend. If your friend cannot sharpen you up, if your friend cannot encourage you, then don't make friends with them. Because if you make friends with them today, they will destroy your tomorrow. Amen? Hallelujah. And finally, where you will be in ministry tomorrow is dependent on your attitude today. Your attitude today. Your attitude today determines your attitude tomorrow. Where you are going to be in ministry tomorrow is dependent on the attitude you have today. Amen? Those who fail, do you know what they have? Failing attitude. They believe they can't do it. They believe there is no way they can succeed. And those are the people you want to keep as friends. They will hold you down. Because they know they've got... When we were in school, there was these people we call NFA. No future ambition. We know them. We know them. We call them NFA. No future ambition. And those are the people you want to keep as your friends. Your attitude today determines what happens to you tomorrow. If today you will make up your mind to be positive and positive and positive, despite all the troubles you are looking at in front of you, and you remain positive, do you know tomorrow, your tomorrow will be positive? It's going to be. It's going to be. I had a problem one time. My holidays in Lagos, Nigeria. And it was so bad. And my mother said to me, Omo, Fikusile fun won wa pa e o. Leave Lagos for them, they are going to kill you. And she was putting this pressure on me. Look, this people will kill you. Leave Lagos for them. And one day I said, Mama, I said, my life is in the hand of God. I have made up my mind to come to Lagos to make a living. And nobody can chase me away back to my village. I will not go. I had this attitude. I will not leave this place. This is the place I'm going to be blessed. Today, 20 years after, I am still alive. All those people today, they are under my feet. Amen? Amen. Attitude. Develop a positive attitude and you discover that all your life will be made. Brethren, your tomorrow should matter to you. What happens to you tomorrow should matter to you. It mattered to Abraham. And he got up and he secured his own tomorrow, that of his children, that of his children's children, and his children's children's children, till today. What is going to be your portion tomorrow? There's only one man I know that can give us a better tomorrow. There's only one man I know that can help you to develop the right attitude, that can help you to take the right decision, that can help you to make good friends, that can help you to utilize your time well, that can help you never to miss any great opportunity again. His name is Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus. If today you are going to say, Jesus, I am ready for you, he's going to secure your tomorrow for you. Shall we bow down heads in prayer? Shall we bow down heads in prayer? Shall we bow down heads in prayer? You are here this afternoon and the Lord is saying to you, I want to secure your future for you. I want to do it for you. But as you are now, you are not even qualified. Because you are not right with me. Your heart is not right with me. Your mind is not right with me. Your act and your actions today are not right with me. But I want to help you. If only you will surrender all to me. Is there anyone here today, this morning, that will say, Lord Jesus, you are the only one that can help me secure my tomorrow. You are the only one that can help me I'm ready for you. I want a changed mind. I want a changed attitude. I want a changed habit. I want to be yours. As all else are bowed, I want us to begin to thank God for the word he has sent to us this morning. Just thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Just keep on thanking him. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to say, Jesus, I want to give my heart to you so that you help me secure my tomorrow. I want to give the whole of my being to you so that you help me secure my tomorrow. You may be the only one, it doesn't matter. You might have been coming to church for years, it doesn't matter. But this is a moment of decision. If that is your position, as we are all bowing down our heads and thanking God, I just want you to indicate by lifting up your right hand to him. Jesus, I need you now. I want to give you my heart. Completely, I want to give you my life. I want to surrender all to you. Please, if that's your position, as we are all thanking God now, let your hand go up. God bless you, my sister. God bless that hand. Any other person? Any other person? God bless that hand. Any other person? Yes, Jesus, I want to give you my heart completely. I want to give you my heart. Please help my sister to come forward. I want to pray with her. God bless you too, my sister. Please come forward. I want to pray with you here. Please come. God bless you. Please come. Any other person there? Any other person there? Jesus, I want to give you the whole of my heart. You are the only one that can help me secure my future. Please come. Please come. You don't need to need and just stand there. Any other person there? Any other person there? Jesus, I need you. Thank you, Father. Blessed Redeemer, we thank you. The rest of us, I want us to rise on our feet. I want us to rise on our feet, and I want us to pray for this, our new brethren. And let's talk to God and say, Father, thank you for their lives. Thank you for their lives. Lord Jehovah, whatever they might have done wrong before you before today, please forgive them. They have come to give their hearts to you. Give them brand new hearts in the name of Jesus. Save their souls. Wash their hearts clean with the blood of Jesus. Write their names, O Lord, in the book of life. Please, let's pray for them. Father, thank you for these, your daughters. Thank you for bringing them, O Lord God Almighty, to surrender their hearts to you. Father, please accept them today. Every sin they might have committed against you, please forgive. Lord God Almighty, please wash their hearts clean with the blood of Jesus. Write their names in the book of life. Let it be well with them. Lord God Almighty, Lord, today, let them remain yours forever. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, we thank you for this, your daughters. Thank you because you have made today the day of the appointment with destiny. Father, be exalted in the name of Jesus. Daddy, these ones have declared you publicly as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord Jehovah, please forgive their sins. Amen. Their hearts that they have brought to you to surrender to you today, please take that heart. Wash their heart clean with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Give them brand new hearts. Amen. Give them brand new mind. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Please write their names in the book of life. The power to go and see no more, Father, please grant unto them. Thank you, Father. Because from today, this one's tomorrow you will secure for them. And it shall be well with them. Thank you, Father. Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Please open your eyes. You're welcome. Please shake hands with me. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Please, who should they go with? Okay. Please go with our sister there. God bless you. Amen. Please, you pray just one prayer point. And I want you to be serious about it. Amen? It's about your destiny. It's about your future. Amen? Today is gone. Tomorrow is very, very important to God and to us. Amen? And what happens to you tomorrow is dependent on what you do today. So, one prayer point. I want us to lift up our hands unto God. And say, Father, secure my tomorrow for me. Jehovah, secure my future for me. I need you, oh Lord. Secure my tomorrow for me. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It shall be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We exalt you. Thank you for your word you have passed across to us. Thank you because our life has been transformed. Father, I set our praises in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray.